Day Street and Harbour Audio present First, We Make the Beast Beautiful, A New Journey Through Anxiety, written and read by Sarah Wilson.
Five things to know a buyer's little, yeah? Besides, the quandary remains. Is a chemical imbalance the cause or the effect? Did my grandmother's anxiety instead cause a drop in her serotonin levels? I admit, I feel nervous about questioning the medical model when I'm not a doctor, although history shows that it's often lay people who draw attention to gaps in science. I consulted a number of psychiatrists and heads of certified mental health organisations to ensure that my questioning was neither misleading nor harmful. I was told repeatedly over animated coffee chats around the country that it was not. Dr. Mark Cross is a psychiatrist and board director of SANE Australia. He flags openly that modern psychiatry at times suffers from over-medicalisation and often a lack of informed consent when patients are given drugs without being given the full picture, including the fact that drugs are not curative in many instances. We have not cracked the cure, yet patients are often given drugs without being told this, he says. He goes as far as to say that the medical model can sometimes cause harm, which goes against the Hippocratic Oath, which he took during his medical training. And so you take all these unanswered questions and deficiencies to your shrink or to the self-help aisle or the internet. One of the psychiatrists I saw in my early 20s, a grandfatherly man with a snow-white beard, conceded that, yes, we're talking about an inexact science here. He added this warning, "Be careful, Sarah, you're very seductive." He was effectively telling me that less wary doctors than he might be driven to abandon their treatment plan for me in the face of my robust questioning of the science, which only fueled my cynicism. Ready to roll your eyes again? In 2011, the dude in charge of the DSM was asked by a journalist if the line between normal human response to threat and certifiable disorder might not be as distinct as his didactic tone makes out. His response was, and you can probably guess it, "I don't know." In another interview, he confesses that there are no biological markers for anxiety disorders. And you might scream back, as I did when I reached this point. But we're not just talking about a bunch of cells and synapses on a screen here. This is my goddamn sense of self, the stuff that makes me me. Are we really doing this experiment, people? In fact, I must emphasise, learn, and be open to all of this stuff. This is pretty much the raison d'etre, the joy of this journey. So my point is this. Take on board all the theories, but given no definitive causes, diagnoses, and treatments have been found yet, why not see this as an opportunity? An opportunity to define anxiety as something other than a problem or disorder that has to be fixed as such. UK Guardian columnist Oliver Berkman, who dedicates his column inches to questioning self-help culture, asks whether focusing so heavily on defining the problem tacitly creates the problem, namely that we're broken and require fixing. Perhaps the problem sometimes is the notion that there's a problem, he says. Dr. Mark Cross agrees, just because you're diagnosed with anxiety doesn't mean you have a problem, one that needs medication, he says. So I ask, could we go our own way? Could we play a little with not having a problem? Could we be so bold? Although, let me emphasise, pills and shrinks and behavioural therapies each have their place, for sure. So does a medical diagnosis. Nicely, the word diagnosis itself comes from the Greek diagnosi, which means to know through. As I say, even just addressing the issue with an external party is invaluable. It can get you started on the journey. And again, for those new to their anxiety, especially teens, a diagnosis can be a safe place to plant things until you have the wisdom and learning to take you into deeper understanding. Last year, as I launched into writing this book, my insomnia bottomed out after almost a year of trying to get by while berating myself relentlessly for not coping better. Bugger the root cause of my anxiety, bugger the vested interests of the drug giants, bugger whether the chemicals in my brain were awry or not, I was not coping. The lack of sleep night after night was causing my autoimmune disease to flare up terribly, and I was struggling to function most days. I couldn't hold a thought for longer than a few seconds. I was totally irascible and every nerve ending hurt. I was in pain, an inflamed, aching pain that I described to those who care to know as someone running their nails down a blackboard and rubbing your nerve endings with a scrubbing brush simultaneously. I was existing like this 5 or 6 days a week. My former business manager kept having to take me aside and explain the impact my frazzled state was having on the team in the office.